Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Let's pray a little bit more. Father, thank you for this time that we can look into your word. And I just am in awe, Lord, how you've given me something from your word that is so relevant to the situation that we're in right now, something that we really need because of all that's going on around us. And there's so much opportunity to go into fear, to go into anger, to go into bitterness, and we know that you don't want us to be in any of those places. So we just commit this time to you and pray that we would be not only hearers but doers of your word today, in Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm not gonna give you Jonathan Kahn's information today. Sorry about that, but Jonathan Kahn never tells jokes. So that was the page I couldn't find. I couldn't find this one. So Rabbi Irving made a trip to Cohn's Butcher Shop every Thursday in preparation for Shabbat. And one Thursday, he saw something most peculiar. A dog walked right into the butcher shop. He then got online and waited his turn like everyone else. What'll it be today? The butcher asked the dog. Brisket? The dog shook his head. Roast? Suggested the butcher. The dog shook his head. Lamb, tried the butcher. The dog wagged his tail excitedly. The butcher wrapped up two pieces of lamb, gave them to the dog, and the dog tried it out. The same thing happened the following Thursday, and Rabbi Irving was so intrigued that he decided to follow the dog out of the shop. He saw the dog walk down the street and then up the steps to a house, stand on his hind legs, and ring the doorbell with his nose. A man answered the door, and amazingly, started shouting angrily at the dog. Well, Rabbi Irving was incensed. You should be ashamed of yourself, he told the man. This is the cleverest dog I've ever seen. He goes to the butcher's, fetches your food, brings it home, and rings the doorbell. And you treat him like that? That may be, said the man, but it's the fourth time this month that he's forgotten his key. Well, as we're all aware, Thanksgiving is this Thursday. And really, Thanksgiving is a Jewish holiday. It's a biblical holiday because it's all about giving thanks to God. And I believe the origin is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, the final harvest festival of Thanksgiving. So last week's message was about the virus being judgment for abortion. Very heavy, very frightening subject. And I don't know where everybody else is, but for me, this week's non-mainstream news was almost as heavy about very serious challenges to the election and very serious allegations of corruption. And if you're not watching non-mainstream news, please see me and I can tell you how you can do that, because you're not going to see it on the mainstream news. So it's been a week of heavy clouds, it seems like. But Thanksgiving is close, and we need to celebrate it. We need to be thankful. And The Holy Spirit led me to bring a message to encourage you to be thankful. We need to be patient about the election challenges. They're going to play out in the courts, and many will be appealed, even all the way to the Supreme Court, almost all of them. So it's going to take time, and we need to be able to stand during that time and not stand in a place of anxiety and fear and stress, but stand in a place of peace, and as we're going to learn, stand in a place of thanksgiving. So we need to be thankful in the midst of all this. So what attitude do you need to be truly thankful? Gratitude. And I love that word. Did you ever think about that word? It's clearly a combination of two words. Grateful and attitude. Gratitude. Right? Gratitude. A combination of the two. So the Bible has some great examples of gratitude. Let's look at one now in the book of Genesis. For many years, one of the patriarchs, Israel, thought that his most beloved son, Joseph, had died. And then he learned he was alive, and he was the prime minister of Egypt. And in Genesis 46, verse 29, it says, Joseph harnessed his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And as soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck for some time. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of love there. Verse 30, then Israel said to Joseph, at this time, I'm ready to die. After seeing your face in person, for you are still alive. So these words convey great gratitude for Joseph still being alive and for him being able to hug him and weep on his neck, able to see him again. Moses had an attitude of gratitude also. After the Egyptian army was destroyed in the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15, Then Moses and Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, sang this song to Adonai, the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea. Adonai, verse 2, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will glorify him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Anybody recognize that? Yeah, we sing that. We sing that to this day. And then verse 11, who is like you, Adonai, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in praises, doing wonders? Anybody recognize that? Mi kamocha, another song that we sing. So Moses' gratitude inspired these beautiful expressions of praise and thanksgiving that have come down to us even today. And then Yeshua had an interaction that revealed what he thought about gratitude. It's in Luke chapter 17. On his way to Jerusalem, Yeshua passed along the border country between Shomron, or Samaria, and the Galilee, or Galilee. Now, understand that the Israelites did not consider the Samaritans from Shomron part of their nation. Even though the Romans put Samaria under the same government as Israel, the Samaritans were descendants of people the Assyrians had moved there when they had exiled the people of the northern kingdom to all other kind of places. So they weren't actually ancestrally descended from the patriarchs. Verse 12, as he entered one of those villages, 10 men afflicted with sa'arat, which we understand is leprosy, met him, and they stood at a distance. And as far as we understand, this is an incurable, fatal skin disease, possibly leprosy, but we're not sure, something else. But we do know it's incurable and fatal. Verse 13, they called out, Yeshua, Rabbi, have pity on us. In verse 14, on seeing them, he said, go and let the Kohanim, the priest, examine you. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, a person with a skin disease was required by Leviticus chapter 13 to be examined by the priest to be sure the skin disease was really healed so it wouldn't spread. Now, but notice here that Yeshua did not lay hands on these lepers or even pray for them. He just told them to go to the priest and show themselves, and they were healed as they were going. Why were they healed in this way? Well, because they had cried out to him for help. They demonstrated their faith in his supernatural healing power. And if you look back in the chapter a little bit, it's very interesting that just before this healing in Luke chapter 17, Yeshua's disciples had asked him to increase their faith. So it's pretty clear that this healing was a demonstration of Yeshua's power meant to increase his disciples' faith. Like when he healed the centurion's servant just by declaring him healed without going to his house. So I believe, can you receive this? This should increase your faith, because even though Yeshua is not here in the flesh right now, he can still and he will still heal. Amen. Verse 15. One of them, as soon as he noticed that he had been healed, returned shouting praises to God. So picture this now. These are sores on people's skin, probably. And somehow, in a few minutes, they just supernaturally healed, supernaturally fast. Because this man came right back. It was an instant miracle. In verse 16, and fell on his face at Yeshua's feet to thank him. Now, he was from Shomron, from Samaria. Now, falling at Yeshua's feet meant that this man was seeing him as Lord and acknowledging his willingness to follow him. And then Yeshua's reaction, verse 17, Yeshua said, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Verse 18, was no one found coming back to give glory to God except this foreigner? So here Yeshua is encountering another example, like the centurion, and the woman with the demon-possessed daughter, of a Gentile, a non-Jew, with more faith than the Israelites. And Yeshua, as you've seen from how he reacted, he was really disappointed in the ingratitude of the other nine. He expected gratitude in those he helped. That tells us something, doesn't it? What does God expect from us? Gratitude. In verse 19, and to the man from Shomron, he said, get up, you may go. Your trust has saved you. His gratitude was a sign that he trusted in Yeshua. And this is interesting because he says, it saved you. Now, we don't know. It could mean he was saved either from death by this fatal disease, or it could mean he was saved from eternal death because he had put his faith in Yeshua. So this passage is not only about gratitude, but it's also about ingratitude. And the Bible has some other examples of ingratitude. It's important to see both sides. Back in the book of Genesis, after God delivered the Israelites from Egypt by 10 plagues, guided them by the pillar of cloud and fire, saved them from Pharaoh's pursuing army, provided sweet water from bitter, water from a rock, manna from heaven, gave them victory over attacking Amalekites, spoke to them from Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments and other laws. After all that had happened and they experienced all that, Moses was away on top of Mount Sinai with God for 40 days. And look what happens. Chapter 32 of Exodus in verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, get up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him. Now, it's understandable that they might have thought, well, Moses maybe died up on the mountain, or maybe he just left. But why would the people demand Aaron to make gods to lead them? Well, as I prayed about this, what I saw was they were free from Egyptian slavery, but they were still in bondage to Egyptian idolatry, because that's where the Egyptians were at, and that's what they had learned for 400 years. Verse 2, so Aaron said to them, break off the golden rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. In verse 3, so all the people broke off the golden rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. In verse 4, he received them from their hand and made a molten calf, fashioned with a chiseling tool. Then they said, this is your God, Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This is the epitome of ingratitude. You see that? They credited this calf, this golden, inanimate, metal calf, with bringing them up from Egypt, when God had revealed himself repeatedly in so many miraculous ways as their deliverer. So what was God's reaction to their ingratitude. Verse 9, Adonai said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And I think the stiff-neckedness was clinging to the idolatry, clinging to their idolatrous ways. And here's the judgment. Verse 10, now therefore, leave me alone, so my wrath may burn hot against them, so I may consume them and make from you a great nation. So God was ready to completely destroy all of them, even though, if you read further in this chapters, you learn that not all of them have participated in the idolatry, but the whole nation was going to be destroyed because of this. Of course, we know if you've read what happened, Moses interceded, God relented, and the people were not all destroyed. So I think you can gather with me here. Everybody agree that ingratitude greatly angers God. He doesn't like ingratitude. But you know what? It also angers, frustrates, and disappoints us as human beings, right? When we do something for someone and they don't express any gratitude, how do you feel? Not good. Not good. Gratitude is vital for godly relationships. Saying thank you, making a special effort. It's hard to be friends with people who are ungrateful, right? And when you're grateful for what a person does or their character, I found it helps you accept their faults and avoid becoming judgmental about them. Yeah, this person has this fault, but look what I'm so grateful for what they did here. I'm so grateful for what they did or for how they are. Now, in case you haven't noticed it, we see enormous ingratitude in the U.S. culture right now. Right now. People are believing that they are entitled. And our government's job is to meet their needs. People believing in teaching our children and our college students that our nation is evil. We have nothing to be thankful for about our nation. That we have oppressed our own people and those in other lands. These are the ways of today's world. Now, granted, the U.S. has fallen short at times, but most of the people expressing this ingratitude have greatly benefited by living here. They've received so much blessing, and here's the proof, very obvious proof. How many people want to get out of the U.S.? How many people want to get into the U.S.? Hundreds of thousands want to get into the U.S. Why? Because we are still the land of opportunity and freedom. And yet so many in the land of opportunity and freedom who have experienced it are not grateful for it. Ingratitude. So what causes ingratitude? Well, there's some spirits involved. And I'm just going to call out some of them and you'll see how they work. Greed and lust. You want more, so you're not grateful for what you have. Doubt, you don't believe God is the one who blessed you, so how can you be grateful? Jealousy and envy, ooh, and entitlement. You want what someone else has because they have it. And of course, pride. I should have more because look at me, who I am. I should have more. So how important does the Bible say it is to have an attitude of gratitude, to be thankful? We're going to look at some passages on this. 1 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 5, verse 16. Always be joyful. Verse 17, pray regularly. And then verse 18, in everything, do what? Give thanks. For this is what God wants from you who are united with the Messiah, Yeshua. It is God's will for you to be thankful for what he has done for you. And listen what he's done. He's given you life. He's given you talents. He's given you family. He's provided for you. If you're not grateful, you're being disobedient. But many of you are going through trials. How can you be thankful when you're going through trials? Well, we have this one verse. We've gone over it many times to stand on. Romans 8:28. Furthermore, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called in accordance with his purpose? Well, that's kind of weak. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. How many of you love God? How many are called according to his purpose? All right, so this is for you. This promise is the basis of being able to have gratitude in trials. If you love him and are called according to his purpose, not that you're suffering, but that even when things seem to go bad for you, or when you fail, or others fail you, or your hopes are not fulfilled, God promises to work even those trying things for what? Your good. Your good. So in the midst of the trial, and I know this is hard, you can say, God, I'm not happy, I'm in pain, but I am so thankful you're using this pain, whether it's emotional or physical, you're using this for my good. That's a step of faith. That's a leap of faith, but it is so important. Gratitude is a shield against bitterness. And bitterness has very serious destructive consequences. You can't be grateful and bitter at the same time. Impossible. Impossible. So when you're tempted to be bitter toward God because of the trials you're facing, remember, he's causing all things, including your trials, to work together for your good. This also holds when you're tempted to be bitter toward other people for how they've treated you. God will use their mistreatment of you even for what? For your good. Or sometimes people are bitter toward themselves for how they failed at something. But God will use that. I am grateful for my failures. I am. Because God used my failures for my good, to teach me something, to humble me, to draw me to depend on him. They brought me to where I am today. My failures, absolutely. Trials made me see I needed God's wisdom and direction to guide my decisions, because the decisions that I'd made without him led to disasters. So just before I turned to the Lord, we had a car that no one could fix. We had a house that we couldn't sell. It was in California and we were here. Yeah. We had children that kept getting sick and we couldn't find a way to get them healed. And there was a veil over my heart, so I couldn't see the spiritual reality of what was going on. We were just kept on trying to get this to happen, trying to get somebody to fix the car, trying to get the house. Just kept trying. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says something very interesting. But, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away. Those trials caused me to turn to the Lord, and the veil was taken away so I could see that there was a God whom I needed to know personally, because he had saved me from a whole lot of things, a whole lot of worse destruction, but that I needed to know him personally so I didn't make all those stupid decisions that I had been making and was flowing with what he had for me as my destiny. Now, I know it's hard to see God making all things work for good when you're going through the trials, but my experience has been is that over time, it becomes very clear. What happened to me 3 months ago? Oh, I can see how that worked for my good, even though it was really hard. So here's another verse about gratitude. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your request known to God by prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, gratitude, first of all, we see overcomes worry, fear, anxiety, stress, all the other things that are related to it. Thanksgiving overcomes that. But thanksgiving for what? Thanksgiving that God has heard your prayers, that he will make all things work together for your good. And one of the really, really significant things that we need to understand here, and it relates back to even what we're going through in the world right now, gratitude is necessary, according to this verse, to get your prayers answered. Do you see that? He's giving you instruction in prayer. Pray, but pray with thanksgiving, and then you won't have to worry. Your prayers are going to be answered. Do you see that? Now, why is this important in the world today? Well, we're all praying, as Mark prayed, for the truth to come out concerning the elections. We're praying for this judgment of COVID to come to an end, for God to have mercy on those things. But what we're told to do here is we're told to be thankful, because being thankful is a sign that we really believe God's going to answer our prayers. So thank you, Lord, that you are going to bring the truth out in all of the things that are happening about the election. In fact, you know, it hit me today that when Yeshua was defining himself, identifying himself, he said, I am the way and what? I am the truth and the life. He is the truth. So if we want to see truth, we're saying we want to see Yeshua, right? So Yeshua is going to bring forth the truth in all of this, and it's going to keep us through this plague that is upon us. But it says something else here that's very interesting. Verse 7, then God's shalom, passing all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds safe in union with the Messiah Yeshua. So if you have peace, if you're thankful, you catch that from the previous verse, with thanksgiving, if you pray with thanksgiving, God's peace will keep your hearts and minds safe. Being thankful, gratitude is necessary to have God's shalom and to have true peace and to have safe hearts and minds. Safe from what? Safe from Satan's torment and deception. Thanksgiving is a weapon against your heart. The heart is your spirit and your mind. That's your soul being unsafe, meaning being susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You see now how important Thanksgiving is? Yes. So gratitude not only overcomes fear, we talked about bitterness, blocks the enemy attack, but gratitude overcomes depression. You can't be grateful and be depressed at the same time. Impossible. Impossible. So here's another reason for gratitude is important. As if we didn't have enough already. Psalm 100, verse 4. You probably all know this. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Praise him. Bless his name. Well, gratitude is needed to praise God. How can you praise God if you're not grateful for what he did? That would be impossible. We must be thankful, though, and have gratitude to enter God's courts and gates. Meaning to come near him. To come into his presence, to hear from him, to be connected with him. What do we need? Thanksgiving. Gratitude. You need to come with a grateful heart. And I just think of a song that is so precious. The name of the psalm is Come Fall on Us. And it has just one very important, very true line. And it says this: a thankful heart prepares the way for you, my God. Isn't that sum up everything we just talking about here? A thankful heart prepares the way for you, my God. I don't even know who wrote it. I'm probably getting into copyright problem here. But it is so true. It is so true. So, how can you be thankful when you're in need of God answering your prayers? Well, one very important way is to remember how God has come through for you in the past. How many have had God come through for you in the past? Okay, everybody. I'm sure a lot of people out there online. When you remember those things, that will help you have faith that he will get you through whatever you're worried about, whatever you're struggling with right now. So we're going to look now at what the Bible teaches at how to grow and maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God. But before we do that, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to repent of ways in which we've given in to ingratitude. We've given and not had gratitude. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to, because the Holy Spirit directed me, you need to bind the spirits that are causing people to not be able to be grateful before you pray for God's gratitude in you. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, so much in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And I pray, Father, that everybody who is hearing this will be able to appreciate how much you've done for them. We just take a moment now, Lord, and we recognize and take responsibility for the times We've gone along with ingratitude and not been grateful. Anybody here willing to own up to that? To confess that to the Lord? We recognize and take responsibility for that, and we repent of ingratitude, of going along with the ways of the world, because the world is full of ingratitude. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, count Yeshua's sacrifice to pay our penalty, and redeem us from this, Father. We thank you, and we receive your forgiveness for being ungrateful, Lord. We renounce ingratitude in the name of Yeshua. Just say it out. I renounce ingratitude. I renounce greed, lust, doubt, jealousy, envy, entitlement, pride, anything else you can think of that leads to ingratitude. And right now, in the name of Yeshua, I command those spirits to leave us, to release us, to remove their hold on us, spirits of ingratitude, greed, lust, doubt, jealousy, envy, entitlement, pride, bitterness, and fear. In the name of Yeshua, I command you to leave, your power to be broken over us, in the name of Yeshua. And now, Lord, refill us with your Holy Spirit. Refill us to the overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And give us the gift of discerning of spirits to detect those spirits when they try to tempt us again so that we don't give in to them. And give us faith to resist their return. We rejoice and we thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. So, now that we've done the spiritual warfare, now that we've done the deliverance, let's look at how the Bible teaches you to grow and maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God. And the main way it teaches you to do that is to recall the great things that God has done and realize that you would not be here. You would have not received the blessings that you have if he had not done these great things. So we're going to start with Psalm 136, verse 1. And I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to ask Shea to come up, and we are going to sing that song. So Shea, are you ready? Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is the song that if you've been with us on Sukkot, when we go out in the sukkah and we wave the branches and we turn all directions, this is the song we sing. So we've got the words here. Shea is going to come and lead us in that song.
Yes, you all sing with your masks on. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you don't, that's okay. You can be grateful either way. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu. Now in English, give thanks to the Lord, he is good, his mercy forever endures. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good, his mercy forever endures. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, he is is good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Shara. So that's just the first verse of this psalm. The rest of the psalm, though, gives us the instruction on why we should give thanks and how we can maintain that attitude of thanksgiving. So I'm going to read through this whole psalm, and we've got it up there on the slides. I'm skipping a few verses. Verse 5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip "for his mercy endures forever" in the rest of the verses. But look at what the psalmist instructs us as to how we are to have that attitude of gratitude. Verse 6, to him who laid out the earth above the waters. 7, to him who made great lights. 8, the sun to rule by day. 9, the moon and stars to rule by night. God made the creation you live in, the earth you stand on, the sunlight that energizes this world. He made the air you breathe. He made you in his image. Every cell in your body, he breathed life into you. Verse 10, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. 11, and brought out Israel from among them. 12, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. 13, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. God delivered your ancestors from slavery in Egypt. Even if you're not Jewish, those were your spiritual ancestors whom he delivered. Verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness. 17, to him who struck down great kings. 18, who slew famous kings. 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites. 20, and Og, king of Bashan. 21, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel. Moses is writing this, I believe, and God gave the land of Canaan to the people of Israel. This is how much of it Moses saw, because he didn't see him get the rest of the land. Verse 23, he remembered us in our lowly state and received, verse 24, rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Verse 26, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So why was this written? To help you and I and every other believer have an attitude of gratitude by recording and reminding you of the great things God has done that have blessed your life. Why? Why do you and I and the rest of humanity need to be reminded? Because we're humans. We forget. Anybody here ever forget anything? We forget. We need to be reminded of our history to strengthen our faith. And we need to pass that memory of our history down to the future generations. That's actually one of the most important functions of the Bible. It records the spiritual history of the world so we don't forget what has happened. So we can continue, though, to thank God for his grace, continuing on beyond Moses, because that was just as far as Moses got. He's done many great things after Moses, and they have been instrumental in us being here today. So let's go on and give thanks for what else happened. Thank God for the conquest of the promised land, for raising up righteous kings, Samuel and David, to lead, for other righteous kings, Jehoshaphat, Jotham, Hezekiah, Josiah, for the prophets. Thank God for the prophets, for Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the others, for the heroes, for Daniel, Nehemiah, Ezra, Ruth, and Esther, for those who wrote down God's word and carefully preserved it, for the Maccabees and their victories. And then we come up to Yeshua's time, for Yeshua and all that he did to save us, for his willingness to leave heaven to live as a human being, to experience all the hardships that humans experience, for his amazing interpretation of God's word, like in the Sermon on the Mount, for his revelation of the nature of the kingdom, like his parables, the good shepherd, the talents, the wheat and the weeds, the sower, the mustard seed, for his predictions of the future to warn us of what is coming, for his miracle-working power that healed and delivered people and still does now, for his great love for you, demonstrated by his willingness to sacrifice his life to pay the penalty for the times you have disobeyed God, and for him sending the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to live in you for the rest of your life. And then for Yeshua's apostles and disciples who spread the word about him and wrote the new covenant. And then for the translators of the Bible into the common languages, for Tyndale and Wycliffe, for other translators like Young and Taylor and David Stern, and the Tree of Life translators, and the pilgrims, the Puritans, others who came here for religious freedom. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you for the founding fathers and their godliness and their wisdom and their courage, God. Thank you that we live in a nation that was consecrated from its beginning to our God. Thank you that they wrote freedom of speech and worship and the press and to bear arms right into the Constitution, Father. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the victories you've given us, first over the British, over the Confederacy, over the Nazis, over the communists, over the jihadists. Thank you for our nation's role in spreading the good news and turning people to righteousness. Thank you for our nation establishing women's rights, for outlawing slavery and racism. Thank you, Lord. And then bringing it right up to date, thank you, Lord, that our founding fathers instituted courts and judges, rather than the media being the decision makers. In our elections, it's up to the courts. The media is not the decision makers, the judges and the juries are. That our nation, because I just had this revelation this week, that when the media makes the decisions, that's mob rule. The loudest voice that speaks to the most people has their way. Does that sound familiar? That's the media. We've decided this election is over, so it's over. It's going to go to the courts. Now, to bring it a little more close to home, Lord, I thank you for our congregation. I thank you for the faithful first members, for Ann and Randy over there, and Ron, who's passed on to be with you. I thank you for our founder, Jonathan Bernis, and for Rabbi David and Sandy Levine. Thank you for being part of their work, the outreaches in the former Soviet Union, in Latin America and Africa, Father. Thank you for the healings and deliverances we have experienced. How many have had a healing in their lives? Thank you for that, Lord. How many have had a deliverance in their lives? Thank you for the fellowship that you experienced, Lord. Thank you for what we have learned. How many have learned something since you became a follower of the Lord? Just a couple of things, yes. I thank you, Lord, for the amazing people who have served here, who I've had the privilege of working with. Thank you for the miracle of provision when we started the grocery distribution and ministry. Amazing miracles of provision to provide that. And then, Lord, well, I just want to take a time and repeat the miracles of buying that building. So we thank you, Father, for Pastor Doug. He just called me yesterday and said he just wanted to pray with me, because he knew that we were waiting for the closing date, and they went through that in the past. He just wanted to pray with me. Amazing. Thank you for Pastor Doug. This was all his idea. The Lord spoke through him. And thank you for their board over at Edgewood for wanting to have us have that building. Thank you for the denomination that approved it, Father. Thank you for the 500,000 anonymous donation from somebody in their congregation, not our congregation, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the turning down of a $200,000 higher offer than we made for that building by the Edgewood Board. Thank you for that. Thank you for Tim Avery, Father, who taught us how to raise funds without charging us anything, because he was already getting paid by Edgewood. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the unanimous vote by our members to proceed to make an offer. Thank you for such a time as this campaign. This is amazing. $205,000 about were pledged, but $495,000 came in. Oh. Is that amazing? That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But it's true. And then thank you, Lord, that we were able to sell that building on Winton Road, because that was a miracle. Thank you for Jonathan Bernis and Paul Wilbur agreeing to come to our fundraiser and help us raise money. And finally, Lord, thank you for the two banks offered us a loan, and they competed against each other for who would get the loan by keeping on lowering their interest rates. I've never seen anything like that. Amazing. And then, Lord, I want to just thank you personally. Personally, I'm just amazed at how you have prospered me and my family in this congregation. My immediate family, Diane and Elizabeth and I, we have had such amazing healings and deliverances over the years. You've given us purpose. You've prospered us. You've given us peace. You've given us revelations of God's word. When I first started here, I was my biggest fear was, what am I going to say every week to the same group of people? It's been almost 25 years now, and every week when I get my notes together, I have to cut things out because I got too much. It's amazing. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for the people in my life who have encouraged me, have helped me, have taught me, have been an example to me, have defended me, have corrected me. And I want to just thank you for everybody who's here now or who's watching or who may watch this later, who has supported us and this congregation in these times. Thank you. Thank you to each one. Thank you, Lord. So here's what we're going to do. I am going to make a suggestion. Some of you will do it, and if you do, you will be blessed. When you get home today or tonight, get out a notebook, a piece of paper, write down your own additions to the things to be thankful for. Write them down so when you're struggling with something, when you need a boost of your faith, what can you do? You can go out and read what things God has done. And if you keep that like in a ledger or when you have something that you're a journal, when you put that in a journal, you can keep adding things to it. The Lord did this and the Lord did this. That's what I've been doing. We've been adding things to it so that we can go back and say, well, I'm not feeling like I have enough faith for what I'm believing for right now, but look what God did before. Look at what he did here. Look at what he did here. And you can just feel your faith going, oh, my faith is growing. My faith is growing. All right. So what we're going to do right now to end, instead of, we already prayed, so we're going to end in a different way. Shay is going to come and lead us in that song again. That song of Thanksgiving, okay? Come on, Shaya.
That, and we're going to do the end of the service, so you might as well stand up. Hodul Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodul Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. Hodu, 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 hodu. Oh, do, oh, do, oh, do, oh, do, oh, do, Ladonai Kitov. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good, his mercy forever endures. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good, his mercy forever endures. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks to the Lord, he is good. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good. Amen.